Hello, my name is Roger Pasco. Welcome to another broadcast of Transforming Grace, which is brought to you by the Institute for Biblical Preaching in Ontario, Canada. It's a pleasure to bring you these messages from God's Word and to be changed by its transforming power through God's transforming grace. The Bible says that the Word became flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. I trust that the grace of God will touch your life today as you follow along with this message from John's Gospel, chapter 14. We've been studying in John for quite some time. We're at the 14th chapter. We're studying the I Am statements of Jesus. And in the first six verses of John chapter 14, we get this wonderful statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We're going to study that together again today. And before we do so, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this another day. Thank you for all of those who are listening to this broadcast. And I pray that they will be blessed through the study of your word and that our lives will be changed. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So not only does he assure us of the existence of heaven, but he assures us of our entrance into heaven. And our entrance to heaven is sure because Jesus is coming again. He says in verse 3, if I go, I will come again. The implication in what Jesus says here is, if I go, and I will come again. This is the ultimate assurance for troubled hearts. I will come again. You see, he doesn't just tell his disciples, I'm going away, but he tells them, I will come again. I'm coming back. Once my task is complete, once my death and my resurrection, my ascension, the sending of the Holy Spirit, preparation of the heavenly place, once all of that is complete, I will come again. That's the ultimate assurance for troubled hearts, is the coming of Jesus, the return of Jesus. Those of us that belong to Jesus, we're looking for that, for his return. So you see, what appeared to the disciples to be a calamity, that Jesus was going away, would in fact turn out to be the greatest blessing. Indeed, he had to go away in order for us to go with him. He had to die that we might live with him eternally. And we don't always know how things will turn out, do we? Often our circumstances are hard, they're troubling, sometimes depressing. We don't know how they're going to turn out. But so often, what looks like a calamity turns out to be the greatest blessing. What we think is a disaster, God turns into good. When we think it's all over, it's actually only just begun. Our admission to heaven is sure because Jesus is coming again. And our admission or entrance to heaven is sure because Jesus himself is taking us there. Verse 3 says, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so he's coming back again in order to take us to where he is now. At his second coming, he will take us to himself. He wants us there with him. And being with him is heaven. Where he has gone, you see, we will go also. He'll take us there. We aren't looking, as the little song says, for a mansion just over the hilltop. We're looking for Jesus. That's where we want to be. So doesn't this just turn the disciples' calamity into the greatest blessing? Oh yes, they're going to be sad because they're going to miss him. They're going to be sad because he is going away. He won't be among them physically any longer. But out of that calamity will come the greatest blessing, that he'll come back again and take us to heaven. If Jesus had not gone away, we could not go to where he is now. If he had not gone away, we couldn't go to heaven. But he went away in order to bring us the greatest blessing, that we might be with him eternally in heaven. Nothing assures a troubled heart like the prospect of heaven. So Jesus assures us of the existence of heaven. Jesus assures us of our entrance into heaven. And Jesus assures us of the direction to heaven. He says in verse 4, "You know where I'm going, and you know the way." He was going to the Father, you see, by way of the cross. That was the way. And they knew that. He had told them that before, that he was going to the cross. That's why they couldn't go with him. They couldn't go to the cross, nor could they ascend to the Father right now. But even though they knew this, they couldn't grasp it. They couldn't take in the reality of it. They probably didn't want to. What they had heard with their ears hadn't made its way into their hearts. And Thomas expresses the thoughts of all of them when he says in verse 5, "We don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" He says, not only do we not know the destination where you're going, Jesus, but we don't know the direction either. We don't know the end of your journey, and we don't know how you're going to get there. Did Thomas think that Jesus was merely changing earthly locations, that he was leaving that place where he was speaking to them and going somewhere else, somewhere where perhaps they could follow him? Well, Thomas, and undoubtedly the others, had missed Jesus' point. They'd missed the point. He's not talking about a change of earthly locations. He's not talking about going somewhere else where they could follow him right then. He's talking about going to the cross. And so now Jesus lovingly assures us of the direction to heaven. The direction to heaven is sure because Jesus is the way. Verse 6. He's the way to heaven. Jesus isn't speaking about a road map, but about his person. He has not only shown us the way, he is the way. He's the way from God to man. Through his incarnation, you see, through his becoming a man, becoming a human being, he came to earth from God to reveal God to us. So he's the way from God to man. He's also the way from man to God. He's the way to the Father's house. He's the way to heaven. He's the way to the place that he has prepared. He is the way to God through his blood. He's the mediator between God and man. Through his death and resurrection, he's opened up the way to God for us. He is the way that leads to life. And the Bible says, "Few there be that find it." Now today, many people are saying, well, there are all kinds of ways to God. There are all kinds of different ways to heaven. But Jesus says, no, that's not true. No one comes to the Father except through me, in verse 6. So he tells us the way to heaven. I am the way. Sometimes we have to ask for directions if we're going somewhere, don't we? And sometimes the person that we stop and ask gives us accurate directions. Sometimes they give us inaccurate directions. Sometimes we just don't remember what they told us to do or the direction to go in, or we misunderstood what they said. But there can be no misunderstanding about the directions that Jesus gives us to heaven. He is the way to heaven. It's very simple. It's very straightforward. It's not complicated. We don't have to follow a road map or a set of written instructions. Jesus simply says, "I am the way." The direction to heaven is sure because Jesus is the way. We can't go to heaven in any other way other than through Jesus. You see, it's only by accepting Jesus as Savior, it's only by having our sins washed away in his blood that we can go to heaven. And that's the way you get there, through trusting Jesus as your Savior. The direction to heaven is sure because Jesus is the way. And notice also, the direction to heaven is sure because Jesus is the truth. He's the truth about our future dwelling place. He's the truth about how it's prepared. He is the truth about how we get there through him. He is the truth of God expressed to us in human flesh. Without him, we would be in darkness and ignorance. He is the truth. He reveals the truth about God to us, and he reveals the truth about us to ourselves. And he reveals the truth about our relationship to God, how that we are rebellious sinners by nature and by practice, that we were cut off from God because of our sin. He reveals all that to us and about us. And he tells us how we can be reconciled to God through the blood of his cross. Satan tries to deceive us and tell us that we can't trust God. You remember in the Garden of Eden that Satan said to Adam and Eve, "Has God said?" You see, he questioned God's word. But Jesus here says, "I am the truth." Satan wants us to doubt the truth about God. Satan wants us to disbelieve God, but Jesus says, "I am the truth." Now, who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe Satan, or are you going to believe Jesus? To know Jesus Christ is to know the truth. And if you know the truth, the Bible says, it will set you free. The truth of God will set you free from your sin, your wickedness, your rebellion against God. It'll set you free from your addictions, from your sinful habits, from your bad relationships and your bad attitudes and all of those things. We can have freedom from that through Jesus. Jesus is the truth. And to know him is to know the truth. And don't you want to know the truth? In a world where there is so much that you can't believe, so much that is not the truth, so much that is that deceives people, don't you want to know the truth? And the truth is as it is in Jesus. And if you know that truth that Jesus came to proclaim, it will set you free. It'll set you free from the bondage of sin. And all of us want to be set free from that, don't we? Perhaps you have guilt right now about your sinful lifestyle and your past, and you want to be set free from that. Perhaps you have a bad conscience about things you've said and done in the past, and you want to be set free from that. The only way that you can be truly set free is to know the truth of God as it is in Jesus. Turn to him in saving faith and have your sins cleansed. And when you know that truth, the truth of the gospel, it will set you free. Jesus assures us of the direction to heaven. The direction to heaven is sure because Jesus is the way. Direction to heaven is sure because Jesus is the truth. And you'll notice this. The direction to heaven is sure because Jesus is the life. He's the life that we need for heaven. In fact, you can't go there and live any other life than the life that you receive from Jesus. He is the life that is suited to dwelling in heaven with him. He is the sinner's title to life everlasting. He is the surety, the assurance of resurrection life. And you can only have true spiritual life in and through Jesus. You remember that conversation that we studied some months ago between Jesus and a man called Nicodemus? It's recorded in the third chapter of John. And Jesus is explaining to Nicodemus, this ruler of the Jews, Jesus is explaining to him that the only way you can get to heaven is to be born again, to have a new spiritual life. That's what Jesus is talking about here in our verse. I am the life. He said to Nicodemus in John 3, verse 3, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." You see, to be born again means you need new life. You need another life other than the physical life that you received from your mother when you were born. You need a new spiritual life which only Jesus can give you through the Holy Spirit. Nicodemus didn't understand what Jesus was talking about, and so he said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you are born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." He's saying, you were born of the flesh once when you were born through your mother. Now you need to be born of the Spirit so that you have spiritual life, not just physical or fleshly life. Jesus says, "Don't marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. You know, this, in other words, don't think that this is something incredible. Don't think that this is something that you can't enter into, or that I'm talking in a language that is impossible to understand. Don't marvel, he says, that I said to you, you must be born again. Here's how it works. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So what Jesus is saying now is that to have spiritual life, you have to be born of the Spirit. To have physical life, you are born through your mother. To have spiritual life, you're born through the Spirit. And just as you cannot tell where the wind comes from or where it is going, you can only see its effects, so you cannot control the work of the Spirit. You cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going, but you can see its effects. And the effect of the Spirit of God in a person's life is to give them new life, a life that's suited to heaven, a life that is suited to God, a life that desires to please God, to live for God, a life that is like Jesus' life. And that life only comes from being spiritually born again through the Spirit of God. That's the life that Jesus is speaking about here when he says, I am the life. That's the life that is needed in order to go to heaven. That's your title to eternal life, is that new birth, that new beginning, that new life that is given to you, that is put into you, that indwells you through the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus has the power of life within him, you see. He is the source of life. He's the giver of life. I am come, he said in John's Gospel, chapter 2, that they might have what? Life. And that they might have it more abundantly. We saw just a few weeks ago in John chapter 11 and verse 25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. You see, that's the life we're all looking for. That's the life we desperately want and need, is new life, eternal life, spiritual life. Jesus said in John 8, verse 12, he is the light of life. He said in John 6, verse 68, that he has the words of life. And he said in John 10 and 10, he has come that we might have life. Well, we have the words of life in our hands today, don't we? In the Word of God that we're studying together. I hope you have a copy of the Word of God, that you can read it for yourself and learn from it. These are the words of life, wonderful words of life. These are the words that tell us about eternal life, about our relationship to God, about how we can be reconciled to God, about how we can have the absolute certainty of eternal life. There's a little Sunday school song that we used to sing when I was a boy that says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what Jesus said. Without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. Without the life, there is no living. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what Jesus said. And that is, my friends, today, what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The way to heaven is a one-way street. There is no other way. There are no other roads. All roads don't lead to heaven. No one comes to the Father but by me. The only way of admission into heaven, the only way of our entrance into heaven, the only way of acceptance into heaven is through Jesus. Now, there are all kinds of other religions in the world and all kinds of other philosophies in the world telling us that there are all kinds of different ways to get to God, all kinds of different ways to get to heaven. But those are the lie of the devil. They are not true. The only thing that is true is what Jesus said and who Jesus is. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the one who is the truth, who is absolute truth, says no one comes to the Father except by me. Now, to come to the Father means to get to heaven. As he said earlier, heaven is the Father's house. If you want to get to the Father, you have to come through me, Jesus said. He alone is the door by whom we must enter in. That's what he said earlier in John chapter 10. I am the door. He is the door to eternal life. He's the door to heaven. He's the door to the Father's house. You have to go in through Jesus. You cannot get around the cross. There's no other way to heaven except by way of the cross and of Jesus shed blood. There's no other acceptable approach to God. You can't get there through your education. You can't get there through your sincerity. You can't get there through your good works or your religion. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, Acts chapter 4 says. He is the only way that brings us to God. He is the only source of truth about ourselves and God. He is the only giver of life, that eternal life that unites us with God. So, as I said, we live in a day of what's called religious pluralism, or that just is a fancy word for saying all kinds of different religions, all kinds of different ways, all of which end up at the same place. Basically, it's a religion that says anything goes. You want to get to God through your good works. You want to get to God through various ways, through other philosophies, then go ahead, because it all end up in the same place, they say. Whatever you believe is okay, even if it makes no sense. To claim only one way to God, they consider to be narrow-minded. Well, folks, the Bible is narrow. It's the narrow way that we are on if we're on our way to heaven. It's the broad way with all kinds of different philosophies and religions that leads to destruction, the Bible says. Well, no wonder so many have troubled hearts, because they're so confused. They're confused over all the various voices in the world and all the different messages that are being published in the world, and they can't figure out who to believe or what to believe or do. They don't know who they are. They don't know where they came from. They don't know where they're going. They're lost and their hearts are troubled, and Jesus is the only one who has the remedy for troubled hearts. The remedy is to stop being troubled and to trust him. If you are trying to trust him but lack the assurance, Jesus gives assurance for troubled hearts. You see, Jesus doesn't just tell us what to do without giving us the comfort, without giving us the ability to live the way he wants us to. And so he gives us assurance for troubled hearts. He assures us of the existence of heaven. He assures us of our entrance to heaven. And he assures us of the direction to heaven, that he is the way and the only way. Folks, that's all the assurance that we need. For nothing gives assurance to troubled hearts like the prospect of heaven. Now let me ask you, are you going there? I hope that everyone listening today is going there. I've told you clearly from the Word of God how to get there. The only way to get there is through Jesus. You need to come to the cross of Jesus. You need to kneel before Jesus and acknowledge that you're a sinner. Cry to God for mercy. Say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You need to repent of your sins. That means to turn away from your sins and turn to Jesus. And the Bible tells us that whoever comes to him in faith, he will not cast out. So that brings you wonderful peace and assurance, because then you have new life. And when you have new life, you have a special relationship with him and with God. And all the assurance we need is that we are covered by the blood of Jesus and that we have the prospect of heaven. That's a wonderful assurance for troubled hearts. And folks, if you have troubled hearts today, take comfort in this wonderful promise of Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Well, until we're together again the next time on this radio station. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May these lessons that we're studying together from week to week be a real encouragement to you. May they build you up in your faith, and above all, give you the hope and the prospect of heaven, of being with Jesus. God bless until we're together again the next time on this station.